Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
I'm expecting to hear an announcement any second about one Denver Bronco that will feel rather validating to one guy in particular.
Can we be there? Oh, just think of the time.
Pat Surtain. PS2 is up for NFL Defensive Rookie of the Week. And George Payton had to have been watching his young first-round corner with great pride this past Sunday. James Marilat filling in for Brandon Stokely today. Stoke will be back tomorrow. What'd you make of Surtain on Sunday?
I mean, obviously he had a couple of really nice plays. I thought the play in the end zone, you know, it was a bad throw by Herbert, but that's the kind of play where if you don't make the catch, if you don't make the pick, they're still going to get points, and we've seen those kind of plays dropped over and over and over again. So it was a good play. Obviously, the pick six was a play that sealed it. It bounced right to him, but he made the play. I just think he made two plays that any cornerback on the roster, including those on the practice squad, could have made. So I'm not gonna do victory laps and say George Payton got it right and they nailed it with the number 9 overall pick, because Pat Surtain had two of the easiest interceptions you could ever have.
Okay. I don't disagree with the assertion that, and I mentioned this before, that I would hope that any cornerback on the Denver Broncos roster would be able to make the interception the first time around, the one that was severely underthrown. Now, taking it to the house, that was impressive. That was impressive.
There was nobody in front of him.
Well, pick sixes are just hard to come by. And that was after the Austin Eckler tip pass, right? That was what resulted in the pick six.
Yeah.
That was the more impressive pick of the two, where you're thinking on your feet and you got to go make the play. Now, it was there for you to make, but you made the play. These are the other candidates that are up for rookie of the week, week 12. In fact, it's the Pepsi Zero Sugar Rookie of the Week.
All right. Okay. Got to make sure we get that in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mac Jones is up for it. Over 300 yards and 2 touchdown passes.
He's had a pretty good year.
Pretty good year. He's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
As
he should.
Yep, as he should. Elijah Mitchell is the running back from San Francisco, who was a raging Cajun.
Yep.
Stokely's alma mater. He had 168 yards from scrimmage. Wow. 133 on the ground, 35 in the air. You have something on the tip of your tongue about Javonte Williams, don't you?
No. You can just tell that the Niners are running the Shanahan offense, right? Because at the end of last year, they were putting guys out there at running back that none of us had ever heard of, and they're running for 100 yards. You're seeing it a little bit. Not that you've never heard of this guy, but a rookie having that kind of success, it's what Mike Shanahan did here in the late 90s, early 2000s, where it didn't seem to matter who the back
was. Plug a guy in, he's going for 1,000.
Yeah, he's going to have 168 from scrimmage.
Jalen Waddle is another candidate from Miami. He had himself a day. I don't know if you saw that, but 9 receptions for 137 and a tug. Javonte Williams!
Hey, he might get his second one of the year.
Man! He was 111 yards from scrimmage, had a good game, rushing touchdown as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then Pat Surtain, who also had 5 tackles, 2 breakups in addition to the 2 picks and the 1 to the crib. And then Jalen Phillips had 3 sacks for the Miami Dolphins as well. You think Surtain's going to win this week?
Yeah, I think when you get a pick 6, it kind of moves you up the pecking order here. I think that's pretty hard to miss. And when you have 2 picks in the game, the stats just look great. So I think he's probably going to win it. He'll be now halfway to Micah Parsons' total for the year, which is nice.
Micah's going to win that a Defensive Rookie of the Year award.
He is. So, you know, look, it sounds like I'm trying to put the guy down. Is it more impressive to me if you read the quarterback's eyes, you break on the football, cut in front of the receiver, pick it off and run for a touchdown, then a ball bounces off of the running back's hands, happens to come right to you, you catch it and run unabated to the end zone? Yeah, it's a better play. Like, again, if Ronald Darby had been in both of those spots, does Ronald Darby have two picks and a touchdown? Probably.
I would hope, but I just don't actually know the answer to that.
Ojemudia?
I don't know that.
I've seen Bassett?
Hey. I've seen Michael Lowe drop some interceptions for a fact. I've seen Darby. I've seen Simmons. All these guys drop interceptions.
Okay.
So, okay. I agree with you that you would hope they would make the play, but to say definitively, like, yeah, Ronald Darby would have made both those plays, I just don't know about that.
If he wins this award.
But let me just declare this. Pat Surtain is going to win this.
Okay.
He's going to win.
I agree with you. So when he wins this award, does that now mean they didn't miss by not taking Micah Parsons?
No. That would be a prisoner of the moment overreacting to a game.
By not taking Justin Fields or not taking Mac Jones. It's all justified because he won Defensive Rookie of the Week.
No, of course not.
In week 13 on two passes that were either thrown right to him or deflected right to him.
It doesn't validate either of those things.
Okay.
No.
So, I've said from day one, I think Pat Surtain is going to be a really good player.
I don't know anyone who doesn't think that.
It's never been about him. It's about the fact that that's a luxury pick for this team. When you needed a middle linebacker, and as much as I think Baron Browning has been good and Kenny Young has been a nice addition, they ain't Micah Parsons
like
either.
Parsons is a freak. Yep.
Yeah, and so you needed that position, and you needed a quarterback, and one of them goes at number 15. He's going to be the Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and lead the Patriots back to the playoffs, and they look like they're set for a decade. So, okay, yeah, the cornerback, when the ball was thrown right to him or deflected right to him, made a couple of plays.
Yeah, but
I would hope so.
Well, here's the thing. So as I just agreed with you on those, you know, points of validation, if you're on the other side, like, this isn't going to be, like, sweeping, you know, vindication for not taking Mac Jones or Mike Parsons or whatever. But in addition to saying that, you have to admit, as well, that Pat Surtain has been rock solid all year. Like, he's been good all year.
He had the pick down in Jacksonville. Is that his only other pick up time?
I'm not worried about the stats. I really don't know. I know he had the pick there in Jacksonville.
I think Pro Football Focus has him rated as one of the lowest rated rookies. He does not have if you put stock in that or not.
Well, I do to a certain extent. I don't let that be the, you know, ultimate decision maker for me. My eyes tell me, just knowing what I know, my eyes tell me that Pat Surtain is having a rock solid rookie year, and I think that there's hope that this guy could be, you know, one day Pro Bowl, All Pro caliber player.
Okay.
Do you see that?
No, I think he's been fine. I think he's been fine.
Do you think he's been the Broncos' best corner? Because I think he's been their best cornerback.
Sure, but there's also the classiest Kardashian. Somebody's got to win. Right? Like, I mean, it's to some extent, like, somebody's going to win that award. Has he been fine?
And that would be Courtney, by the way.
Yeah.
That'd be Courtney. Yeah.
For sure.
And leave Courtney alone, please.
For sure. The fact that that was the best one that came to my mind, it's not necessarily my proudest moment. but yeah, he's been fine. But do I think he's Champ Bailey? No.
I didn't hear anyone say that either.
You're the ninth overall pick. You probably ought to turn into Champ Bailey. What did Champ get picked? Seventh?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not a stretch that if we're going to hold Bradley Chubb to this standard of, hey, you were the fifth overall pick, you need to be wrecking games, you need to be on the facade at Empower Field, then what is the standard we need to hold Pat Surtain to?
One that is going to win Rookie of the Week and is bringing picks to the house and looks like he can be, you know, a 10-year Bronco.
Man, I really wish you were my teacher and you were just providing the curve. And I could put my feet up for half the semester.
What curve?
Do much and then show up and actually get two answers right.
Hold on, you're talking about a guy who just had two interceptions and brought one to the house and was very instrumental in a win yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. And like, neither play was spectacular or difficult.
Yeah, but
any corner on the field could have made
the game that brought the Broncos over 500.
Here's the reason I say it's a luxury. It was a luxury pick. Here's why it was a luxury pick. If they hadn't,
I come across as so sympathetic when I work with James.
If they hadn't drafted Pat Surtain ninth, and they had to play Michael Ojemudia on Sunday,
he doesn't end up as. No, if it was his rookie year, he's not getting.
No, just does he pick off the pass that was woefully underthrown and right to him in the end zone?
I've seen him drop. I've seen him drop the same picks.
in the flat and run with nobody in front of him to the end zone?
I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I can, no, none of us know the answer, but I can say, yeah, I think there's a pretty darn good chance they make those plays whether they have Pat Surtain or not.
All right.
Does Michael Ojemudia cut in front of the pass from Tom Brady in a playoff game and take it 100 yards? No, because that was a great play. Those two plays on Sunday weren't great plays.
I agree with you. The function of the play, like what you had to do, did he sprawl out for? No, he didn't. But he wasn't in a position to do that. He was in a position to make the plays that he made, and he made them in a big way.
Here's the standard in this town. Here's the standard in this town all of a sudden, right? If a ball comes right to you and you catch it, you're great. If you roll to the right, try to throw the ball to Noah Fant and somebody else intercepts it, just so happens to be on your team, you're great. If you roll to the right and don't make a business decision and run out of bounds,
somehow we're back to Drew Lock with
you're
you.
You're great.
No. Somehow we're back to Drew with you.
No, I'm just...
Well, somehow we're back to Drew with you.
I didn't mention Drew
Lock. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying it is a really interesting evaluation that we've got
going. All right, we got to go to break. Thank goodness. The Broncos have a quarterback. Speaking of QBs, the Broncos do have a quarterback that currently has something that neither Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or Justin Herbert have. I'll tell you what it is next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The Broncos have a quarterback that currently has something that neither Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or Justin Herbert have. Interesting question that I want you to try to guess, but it's interesting that these three names are the names that we're using because I think you were here. I think. I know I did this with Stokely, but I might have even been doing a solo. Anyway, I said that this was maybe 6 weeks ago or something. If you could draft, if the whole league was available to you, and you are drafting the first three quarterbacks, I think that they would be, and at the time it seemed even more appropriate than right now because the Chargers have kind of taken a step back. But I think the three would be Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert.
That would be the top three choices in this category. And Teddy Bridgewater has done it and they haven't?
No, I'm saying it's interesting that these are the three names that I'm using because
okay.
In the
those
exercise.
Would be the top three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, like, the Broncos have something that potentially the top three drafted quarterbacks don't have.
Okay. I have no idea what Teddy Bridgewater has done that those three have not done. I can't wait to hear it, though. It sounds more like your Professor Bai wanting to give everybody that has a 62% an A in the class. That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-mm. No, that's not Professor Bai.
Okay, James. Professor Bai.
The Broncos have a quarterback with a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio.
Okay.
Can you believe that's the truth? Forget the other quarterback.
So is it 15-5?
15-5. He has tied with this past weekend. This past weekend was kind of like the quintessential Teddy Bridgewater game. Throws for in the hundreds, one touchdown, doesn't turn it over. But with that touchdown, he has tied his career high for any season with six games in front of him. We are watching, and what you think of this rendition of Teddy, whether it's good enough or not, separate from that, we're watching the best football of Teddy Bridgewater's career.
Okay, yeah, sure, maybe. I mean, did he play better than this when he was in New Orleans? Yeah, shorter time frame. What was that, five games?
Yeah.
And he had pretty good numbers. I think he had 9 touchdowns and 2 picks or something like that.
You're on it. That's exactly what it was.
So, pretty close to actually a better ratio, but a smaller sample size. Like, yeah, is he playing his best football? Okay. But it's still, like, is it unfair to say that it is still mediocre?
No, it's not unfair.
Okay.
No.
That's all I want. I just want to make sure we have a reality check here that, you know, we're not falling in love with it because what we've seen in the past, is he better than Case Keenum? Yeah. Is he better than Joe Flacco? Yeah. Is he better than Trevor Siemian? Heck yeah.
Is he better than Drew Lock?
At this point, yeah. Drew Lock didn't have those kind of numbers.
Save that audio, Rich.
Does he have the upside of Drew Lock? Heck no. Heck no.
Okay.
But is he playing better than Drew? I said at the beginning of the year, I said they're going to win more games with Teddy Bridgewater than they would with Drew Lock. But it, to me, it was always, well, he gives you the best chance to win, and I would always say the best chance to win what? If the goal is 8 or 9 games, then Teddy was your guy. If the goal was to save Vic Fangio's job, then Teddy was your guy. Well, here we are, and he's going to save Vic Fangio's job. And a year from now, when we're having the same conversation about, hey, who should be on the list of people to replace Vic Fangio, don't come crying to me. I tried to warn you.
So, again, let's circle back to where we were before. I don't necessarily disagree with that. And on the heels of me sharing this about Teddy, that, I mean, think about that, though. A 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio on the team that's over 500 in the month of December.
Do you, you probably don't have this in front of you. Maybe Richie or Kevin can look it up. What's the average length of those touchdowns? I'll bet it's under 10 yards. I'll bet you more than half of them have been like 5, 6. What was the one the other day? 3?
But hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on. When they're not scoring touchdowns in the red zone, it's a big problem for you.
Well, but they've got the greatest running back in the history of the organization, according to you. Why don't they just give him the football?
No, you're trying to twist my words there.
I'm just saying, yes, he's thrown 15 touchdowns, but if they're all essentially where you could have run the ball in from there, that's different than how many touchdowns does Mahomes have this year? How many does Herbert have? How many does Josh Allen have?
Mahomes has 25. Allen has 25.
Okay. So my guess is the average length of those touchdowns is higher than Teddy Bridgewater's.
Okay, but I mean,
that would be my guess.
I mean, but we're... And I'm not even disagreeing with you. I don't know, but aren't we getting in the weeds a little bit more?
No, because we're talking about the length of the touchdowns? No, we're not, because it's the same argument everybody made about, oh, well, Drew Lock led the league in interceptions last year. Fact. It's fact. But it was also the lowest total for leading the league in interceptions in forever. And Andrew Luck led the league in interceptions twice. Like, if people acted like that was this big indictment because it sounds good.
It doesn't sound good. It sounds bad.
Well, that's what I mean. If you're making the anti-Drew Lock argument, it sounds good.
But it wasn't just a snapshot of that and leaving out the rest of the details. It's also, okay, but you led the league in interceptions, and we're dead last in completion percentage, and we're 5-11.
But if he's thrown 15 touchdowns, and he's let's say he throws one more, and he breaks his record for a single season, and they're all basically the same average distance as Don Terry Poe's touchdown throw against the Broncos, what does it really mean?
All right. Richie has done some work for us here. You have the average yardage of the Teddy Bridgewater touchdowns for this season?
Correct.
Okay. That was really quick work. Your initial assertion, James, what was it?
Under 10 yards?
I will say the average length of these touchdowns is 13 yards.
And if I'm wrong, I'm going to ask to throw out the Russian judge, because there's an outlier.
You don't get anything. You don't get any qualifier on this after such a declarative statement. Richie, the verdict is?
The correct answer is 13.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding me?
Do you have them in front of you?
I do.
Yes!
There's got to be a half a dozen that are under five yards.
When you put your foot down and say this is the way that it is, I bet, and it's not.
13.
Hey!
I stand corrected. He's been lighting it up. It's like Eric Coryell all over
now. I'll say this in James's defense, because he asked, by my count here, 7 of the 15 were from inside 10 yards.
Okay, so half. I mean, that is about what I would expect.
The outlier would be a 44-yarder to Tim Patrick.
Tim Patrick on the left-hand side a couple weeks ago, I think, right?
Okay, so you take that one out, and I'm right. So you take out the Russian judge.
I mean, think about what you're saying. They'll take that out. So basically what Richie told us is Teddy's great in the red zone and can throw it long.
Yeah, great in the red zone. So on 14 of his 15 touchdown passes, they've been for less than 10 yards. That sort of makes my point.
No, I don't think that it was the case.
Yeah, if you've only thrown 15 and one of them was 44, if you take that out,
I don't think the other
divide the other 14, all the others.
No, that doesn't make sense.
We're gonna make Richie do enough math until I'm finally right about something.
All right. Yeah, I was gonna say,
but if you take out
the 44-yarder, the average is 11.
Still over 10.
10.64.
Yes!
10.64.
Pretty darn close.
Same. I'm round down.
Oh, man. Rough segment for James. All right.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes when you make a bet and you lose and you're like, I was on the right side of that bet.
You did this with Philip Lindsay in the 1,000-yard season. You said the same thing. You're like, I was on the right side of this. Yeah, like, James, you lost.
And he went down to Houston and had 200 yards and got cut. Like, my point about Philip Lindsay was correct.
Oh, my point about
years later,
you're still on that hill.
It was like a year later. My point about Teddy Bridgewater and the touchdowns, like, yes, he's thrown 15, but they've all been a bunch of dink and dunk. My point was actually spot on.
James, but if he threw all long touchdowns, you say all he can do is...
No, I wouldn't.
I'd be like, man, once he get in the red zone, he doesn't know how to think when the spaces shrink. And
I would be like, I have a ton of fun every Sunday getting to watch Teddy chuck it all over the yard versus somebody's got to wake me up every Sunday for the halftime chill.
See, you know what you do? You make me sound like I'm pumping up Teddy into something he's not. I'm just trying to let the facts be the facts.
13. If 13 is a win for you, you're fit right in victory lap Broncos country.
I didn't say it was a win. I just happened to guess it right on the nose. All right, the Broncos. Oh, okay, the Nuggets. Let's shift gears here a little bit. The Nuggets got a much-needed win last night with the return of the most valuable player in the NBA. But a massive storyline is simmering to a boil with Michael Porter Jr., and we're going to talk about it with the one and the only, George Karl, coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Denver Nuggets got a much-needed win last night in Miami to start a seven-game road trip. It's the longest road trip of the Nuggets season. And not only did they win against Miami and snap a six-game losing streak, six games consecutively. Nuggets lost going through it. James, you and I know all about the injuries. No Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter, no Jokic. Jokic comes back last night and was just an animal, just the MVP version of himself, as Nikola Jokic went for 24 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, had a steal, and was a plus 17 when he was out on the floor. Man, they needed it, and they got it in a big way.
Yeah, and you look at it, if you lose last night, and it's 7 in a row, you got 6 more on the road, you're 9-11, it's like, oh my gosh, this thing, the wheels are coming off. One win, you stop the streak, you get Jokic back, and you start thinking, hey, you know what? We can compete when he's back. Now you're 10-10, but if you look at the games, they play a terrible Orlando team.
Correct.
Winnable.
Yep.
They play a bad Pelicans team, winnable, and then they play back-to-back on a Thursday and then on a Saturday against a relatively bad Spurs team. They can win two or three more games on this road trip.
Oh, two or three, absolutely.
I think that's...
If Nikola plays, okay, so you have how many games left here?
Six left.
I mean, 3-3, I think he'd sign up for, because a couple of those games you left out is at a good New York Knicks team, well-coached, revived.
I expect him to beat them.
Good roster.
The Bulls.
At Chicago, really good, again, revived, a reset. Bulls are fun, man. Bulls are, like, if you're going to watch a game, Bulls are a fun basketball team.
But if they go 3-3 in the remaining six games of this trip and have a winning road trip, after losing six in a row, and you come back here at 500, at 13-13,
that's a massive win.
Oh my gosh, you've dodged the biggest bullet of the season.
Yeah,
then you can kind of reset and say, all right, what's the game plan to get from here to the All-Star break? When's Jamal coming back? How do we stay in the race? Like, then you have a chance to kind of regroup a bit. I think if this thing got away from him, and you come back and you're 10-16, and you're like, oh
right,
my gosh,
right,
what are we going to do? Jeez,
right,
we can't even beat the Spurs or the Pelicans or whatever. Then all of a sudden the season just gets away from you. I think last night was a huge win just from like a calming standpoint, right? It's just sort of you needed to calm the waters. The boat was rocking all over the place, and it doesn't mean everything's fixed by any means, but at least made you feel like, you know what, this thing doesn't have to turn into a total unmitigated disaster.
This thing with Michael Porter Jr. is super concerning from an organizational standpoint. We got the news here in the last 48 hours that Michael Porter Jr. is expected to have his third back surgery. Had one in college, had one his first year in Denver, is having another one. Just 24 years old, obviously not ideal. George Karl is with us, good friend of the program, presented by Bet River Sportsbook. Let's just start with the MPJ stuff, Coach. Unfortunately, the news came out here in the last couple days that kind of the worst fears have been confirmed that it is going to be surgical procedure. Agent says he expects a full recovery, but I'm not expecting to see Michael Porter Jr. anytime soon.
Yeah, the back's a tough one. I still don't know if any doctor really understands the back. You know, it's everybody's different. Everybody has a different reaction. And it can be very painful. And I feel sorry for the kid. The kid was on a good path, good direction. He didn't play well this year, but it might have been symbolic of maybe an injury that we didn't know about until just recently. Right. And it's part of pro sports. Injuries are, when you go out and beat up your body 100 times a year, injuries happen and wear and tear happens. And I just wish him the best. I hope he gets back into the game of basketball as quickly as possible and as healthy as possible.
Hey, Coach, it was obviously kind of a kick in the gut to Nuggets Nation, right? It's a fan base that's used to, it's one thing after another with this organization. Given the situation, MPJ's out probably for the year, but Jamal Murray's going to be out until after the All-Star break at some point. Here they are at 10-10 at the quarter post. What's a reasonable expectation? They still have the reigning MVP on the roster, so what's a reasonable expectation?
Playoffs. I mean, they're good enough to even make the playoffs. And, I've always kind of I thought the fan base and maybe talk radio was overhyped. Jamal Murray's injury is a 2-year injury. And to expect him to come back this year and deliver, all-star championship caliber playoff win basketball, I think that might happen next year. And don't get me wrong, I hear he's a hard worker. I hear he's totally committed. I hear he's ahead of schedule.
Yep.
All that stuff. But it's still, when you come back from the injury, your body has to kind of figure itself out again. And to play 35 minutes in a playoff game, I just think it was kind of your expectations were high. I thought he'd come back and play and maybe play and contribute at a good level. But I thought that Michael Porter Jr. was the guy that had to step up forward, or Gordon had to step forward, or someone else had to step forward to fill in the holes.
Last one, Coach, before we let you go. Last night, Nikola comes back into the fold. The Nuggets lost 6 straight. He shows back up and didn't just win in Miami. They dominated. They were up by as many as 24 points. The Heat's largest lead was 2 in the first quarter. And I said to James earlier, trying to articulate who Nikola Jokic is, you could go on and on and on. But I think quite simply, we're watching one of the great players that has ever lived smack dab in the middle of his prime. Do you agree with that?
The greatest compliment I give any player of greatness is he makes other people better.
Mm.
And you got one. I mean, Jokic last night, was he good? Yeah, he was good. But what he did is he made everybody else confident, more together, more connected, play harder. All the things that coaches want, Jokic is the leader of on this team. And it's pretty damn demanding. And it was a wonderful experience to see them play, because they were playing poorly. And they haven't really played well all year long. And last night, I thought they blew the top off of it. And being on the schedule was absolutely difficult. Point blank, difficult, capital letters, underlined, put quotes around it. December, with the injuries they've been dealt. But the strength of their roster is they have depth. Now, that depth hasn't played well this year. The personality of the bench has not come together yet this year. But that doesn't mean it can't happen. And last night, I think, was a positive day for Denver Nugget Nation.
Yeah, I agree. A 120-111 victory in Miami that wasn't even as close as the final score would indicate. Coach, we really appreciate your time and look forward to the next time we can connect with you.
Okay, gentlemen, have a great day. It's spring in December.
Crazy. Tomorrow's going to be 70. It's just insane. You can't make it up. Yeah. All right, Coach. See ya. All right, there he goes, our Nuggets analyst, George Karl, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Check out Coach's new media company, Truth Plus Media, with podcasts on sports, leadership, and human performance. Find them at truthplusmedia.com or at Apple, Spotify, Google, and YouTube. Really quick, before we go to break, I disagree with you earlier in the show because you kind of said, well, in terms of expectations in the postseason, you said if they make it to the postseason, they'll be out in the first round. I would, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, first of all, if that's what you think, that's what you think. But I would caution you to remind yourself that it is still November, early December, and who these teams are in March and April. We forget about November basketball when it really, really matters. And if Jamal comes back, and he says he's not going to come back till he can play with the same force as he played with before, which doesn't have a definition, so we'll see.
Yep.
But between Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Nikola Jokic, I think that that group is still pretty formidable and has an opportunity to absolutely get out of the first round.
Yeah, it's hard to forecast that far ahead. But the reason I asked Coach the question I did is we need to make sure, and this is the thing I always preach, we got to hold people accountable in this town, right? We got to have a reasonably high bar. I think to be upset with Michael Malone if he's not able to get this team to a home court advantage in the first round would be ridiculous. But Coach Karl just said this is a team that, as they're constructed with all their problems, should be able to make the postseason.
They should be, yep.
Okay, then that becomes the expectation.
And then, I agree, by the way. I agree.
And that's in anything short of that, we should be sitting here saying, well, why did they fall short of that? What were the reasons?
Agreed.
And then if they get there, when we're doing a war room in April and you and Matt Moore and everybody are yelling at me.
Wasn't yelling at you.
Then I'll ask the expectation. This will largely be based on what is Jamal Murray at that point. Well, how many games should they win in the first round? Should they have a chance to win in the first round? Then we can gauge that. So to say right now they'll get bumped in the first round, yeah, it's premature, but that's kind of how I feel the expectations for the year should unfold.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Right after the show, I'm going to record the newest episode of the Mile High Hoops podcast. My guy Richie Carney will have that posted, you know, within an hour or so after it's recorded. You can check out a full-blown, dedicated conversation to the current state of the Nuggets, Nikola coming back to the fold, the MPJ news, all that more here just a little bit later today. All right, did Drew Locke fumble his opportunity to be the Broncos' backup? One of our hosts thinks so. We'll tell you who said what next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Did Drew Locke fumble his opportunity to be the Broncos' backup? One of our hosts here thinks so. It's my guy who I just saw here in the hallway, Tyler Palumbis. Talking yesterday on the drive, had a chance to listen to, I've been out of the loop here the last couple days. Had a baby over the weekend, or my wife had a baby. I was there like rooting around.
I was going to say, you were present.
I was listening to those guys, and by the way, like, credit to Tyler, just with the honesty. Like, with the honesty and pick 'em. I already had it banked in my head, like, I need to hit the ATM, need to pay Tyler, pay DMX. Tyler was in Texas, didn't put his picks in, and admitted on the air, raised his hand, said, I did not make my picks. Therefore, like, I'm getting paid because of that honesty. And I thought that was pretty commendable.
Not only that, which I heard that yesterday as well. I was like, man, talk about upholding the integrity of the game.
Incredible.
That was great.
That's an offensive lineman move.
But he also then covered the loss for the entire team.
Crazy.
Because it was his fault.
Crazy.
That's a stand-up teammate.
DBs don't do that. No. Wide receivers don't do that.
That's an O-line move
right
there.
That's an O-line move.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Well, Tyler was talking about the opportunity that Drew Locke fumbled this past weekend against the Chargers, and this is what he said.
I do think that there's a very valid question to be asked. Who is the best backup quarterback on this team? And I'm not saying the most talented quarterback, but who is the best backup quarterback on this team? It's no longer Drew Locke. Brett Rippon should get the next opportunity. Drew's had multiple cracks at this as a backup. He has been unprepared both times. And at that point, you know what? You don't continue to get opportunities. If you're not going to be prepared to be a backup and if you're going to do dumb things and hurt your football team, go to the next guy. Go to the next man.
James Merrillat filling in for Stoke today.
Well, first of all, he was unprepared. Look, I've said multiple times the interception he threw was inexcusable. It's a dumb pass. I don't think that was a lack of preparation. We've seen that kind of throw where he tries to trust himself to throw it back across his body time and time again. I mean, Teddy did the same thing. It's just Eric Salbert intercepted his pass instead of a charger. But still, I don't think that was a lack of preparedness. Have we heard anything from Vic Fangio or any teammates that Drew didn't know the game plan, wasn't ready to go in there?
Well, you know, it was actually interesting.
I mean, he was 4 for 7.
It was actually interesting because Vic Fangio, I don't know if he
about
said
needs
it.
More reps.
Yeah. He indicated, he said, like maybe we need to, like, dumb down the playbook for Drew, which was like, wow, like another installment in the series of
Vic Fangio
subliminal
jabs
to Drew.
But okay.
Did you hear that, by the way? Did you hear him say that?
I didn't hear Vic yesterday. I read it, and it's a little bit like the 1960 presidential debate between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy, where if you listened, you thought Nixon won. If you watched it, you thought Kennedy won,
right?
Because I had a bunch of people who listened to it say, man, he threw Drew Locke under the bus.
So we have the audio. Thank you, Richie, for pausing and doing what you're doing. Go ahead and fire that.
Yeah, it's different for a guy who's never come off the bench. You know, and in Drew's case, you know, we're probably not giving him enough reps during the week, you know, not to make an excuse for him, you know, but he's got to learn to do better at that. And maybe some of that is we need to have a better list of what he feels comfortable at operating with and running and calling. And hopefully he's learned from these two times. Hopefully there won't be another time due to injury and he'll do better next time.
Will he remain the number two this week?
Yes.
I don't hear it that way.
Okay.
Every quarterback has certain plays they like to run and don't like to run that is suited to their style and their, you know, abilities. I don't take that as he's so dumb, we got to come up with some plays he knows. I take it as things Teddy does well, we make the game plan for him. We probably should have a set of plays sitting there where if Drew has to come in, let's run what he's comfortable running and
right.
is good at running.
Right.
I don't take it that way. I think it's just
as like a shot.
Yeah,
I just think
it's different type of players.
That wasn't Bill Musgrave talking about Paxton's playbook at Memphis.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He's like, what'd they run? Like 11 plays at Memphis? What did you guys think he was going to do?
It's a little bit like, hey, if you got a speed receiver and KJ Hamler goes out of the game, you probably have to call different plays when his backup comes in because he's possession receiver. I kind of took it that way. More of a skill set thing. I think in terms of Drew Locke, have we seen Brett Rypien come off the bench and light it up? I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? So that's the first part of it. Yeah, he went in and started against the Jets and won a game when he threw 3 picks against a team that wound up with the second pick in the draft. Whoop-de-doo. So Brett Rypien, really, that's where we're at. But here's the other part of it. It depends on what you want from your quarterback, backup quarterback. I don't expect Drew Locke to be a great backup quarterback. I just don't. I think that's a Gary Kubiak type of a role. It's a guy with limited skills that when he comes in is going to drive the car at 10-2 and drive it 52 miles an hour in the fast lane, and he ain't going to hit anybody, right? That's what he is. That's not Drew Locke. John Elway would have been a terrible backup quarterback too, and I'm not comparing Drew Locke to John Elway. I'm just saying that depending on what your skill set is and how you're wired, some guys are better suited for coming in off the bench for 2 drives and not driving the car into the median.
Okay. This is really my fault.
But if you want a backup quarterback that, hey, if something catastrophic happens and you got to play 5 or 6 games with him, you're telling me you'd rather have Brett Rypien for 5 or 6 games than Drew Locke?
I'm not.
Give me a break.
I'm not.
That is.
Tyler is, though.
That is so ridiculous.
And
so over the top. That is so
well,
just caught up in one throw. Was the throw he had the other day worse than any of the 3 picks Brett Rypien threw at the Jets?
It was pretty bad, James.
It was bad. Was it any worse?
I'm with you. I'm not saying I'm ready to put Drew Locke as the number 3 and put up Brett Rypien because I don't, you know, Brett Rypien has played just a hair more football in the NFL than I have. So I'm not going there. But I'll say this. I think it's a fair question from Tyler. I disagree with him. I think that Drew Locke should be the number 2. But I agree with Tyler in the chances that Drew Locke has been given. He has fumbled it. He's completing 57% of his passes.
If he was two games off the bench.
Okay, I'm just saying. All he can do is make the most of your opportunities. That's the life of an NFL quarterback.
Right, what did Teddy complete against the Ravens? Running the same game plan. What were his stats in that game?
Oh, against the Ravens? Yeah. You got to give me a second to pull it up here. But I'm saying 57%.
He was 11 of 19 the other day, and Drew was 4 for 7. So they're essentially the same thing.
Teddy was 7 for 16.
Oh, wow. He was under 50%. Yeah, what did Drew do in that game?
Bad. Drew was 12 of 21 for 113 yards.
And threw a pick on the last play.
And was sacked 3 times.
Okay, so maybe the game plan was
QBR
terrible.
Of 6.
Maybe the game plan was terrible because Teddy Bridgewater was worse in that game than Drew Lock.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater the other day was what? 11 of 19 for 120 some yards and a touchdown? Like, their game plan wasn't great either. It's not like Teddy Bridgewater was completing 82% of his passes and Drew came in and went 0 for 9. Like, their stats essentially, if you extrapolate them, were the same, and Drew's were maybe even slightly better. He threw one unbelievably egregious pass. Yes. And in a 23-7 game.
And it could have cost the Broncos in a major way.
It could have. And in a 23-7 game against the Ravens with it out of hand, other than can we keep Lamar Jackson under 100 yards, the whole team under 100 yards rushing, he threw a meaningless pick at the end of that game. Like, okay, so Brett Rypien, if Teddy Bridgewater would not have been able to come back in the game in the second half, would you have rather had Brett Rypien or Drew Lock play the second half of that game?
Drew Lock.
Okay.
This is an
asinine conversation.
I don't think it's an asinine conversation. I just happen to agree with you instead of Tyler. I don't think it's an asinine conversation.
Well, if you're on the other side of it, it is.
There's a separate conversation right there.
Hold on.
Two things here. One, it's KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont,
Denver. See, you get me going on Drew Lock.
It's so predictable,
I think
even
pointed at me, too.
The second thing is, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Aaron Rodgers was the Broncos quarterback the way that Mark Schlereth told us on draft night. Completing 57%. Okay. You don't talk about those things, and one of the greatest of all time is your quarterback.
Here's my excuse, and I got another chance on Friday to get you. So the week's not over. But you know, when you're sitting in your chair and you're kind of running the ship, you kind of got the hand cues of like, hey, I got to get to something. You gave me one. So I was like, oh, I don't want to walk on it. It's not my show.
Well, you continued to talk for another 30 after I gave it to you, to be fair.
I was just trying to be respectful of you and your forum here.
Thank you. I got to send two shout-outs on the way out here. One, met a great listener last night at the sports book here off Arapahoe in Greenwood Village. Harrison Cook, everyday listener, loves the podcast. Appreciate him. But even more significant than that, we had a baby this past weekend. And got to give a massive shout out to Skyridge, who does a first class job with everything that they do. You talk about culture. It's not spoken about. You just see it and feel it when you're there. And just a massive tip of the cap to them, and specifically Trisha Johnston, who was our nurse for 3 consecutive days, worked a bunch of hours and was with us just so much, and that typically doesn't happen the way that her schedule worked out. We loved her, and she made a big impact on us over the course of 3 days in a very important and vulnerable and just period. So if you know Trisha Johnston or anyone who knows her at Skyridge, you make sure we gave her the biggest shout out here on The Fan.
Beautiful. Yeah, those people are
congratulations.
They are saints. So I'm right there with you.
Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, you bet. It was fun. I didn't realize Tyler was right behind me to start yelling at
me. He was right there.
Oh, yeah. The thing was, I was already yelling at you, but they didn't turn this mic on, so you couldn't even hear me. I was yelling at you.
When
you didn't take the legal, I was like, hey, James, there's nothing wrong with taking a 10-yard touchdown, dude. Hey, nothing wrong with the 10-yard TD.
It's not like Pat Sertan just having the ball handed to him, and he could walk down the field like he was strolling down a sidewalk. Anybody could have done the legal. Like, anybody could have made that touchdown.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying we should celebrate it like it's something that nobody else could have done, and oh my gosh, we got the right pick. That's all I'm saying.
Of course, we
have such low expectations in this town anymore. If you don't drop a football, you're some sort of hero.
You hate winning. Winning's just the worst.
I hate being mediocre.
Gosh, it's brutal.
We are
worst
so
feeling ever.
Does James have somewhat of a point? Like, what cornerback on the interception for a touchdown couldn't make that play in the NFL?
Well, here's the thing. You would expect them to. You would hope that any corner on the Broncos would make that play. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of times where they haven't. We've seen a lot of play. Justin Simmons had two interceptions and couldn't haul one of them in on Sunday. We've seen Michael O drop interceptions. So I think the truth is somewhere kind of in between.
No, but it's not about that play. I mean, sure, Fuller could have ran in a straight line and got a touchdown. But guess what? Over the course of that game, Surtain allowed 25 yards on nine attempts or seven attempts.
There you go.
Fuller, he allowed I forget what it was, but he allowed seven
93,
catches 93. And 93 some yards.
Yeah.
So can anybody run in a straight line? Sure. Can anybody hold them to 25 yards or less? No.
I know it's grinding James gears is how smug Vic Fangio said about we would do the draft all over again the same way.
You wouldn't take Micah Parsons and you wouldn't take Mac Jones and you wouldn't take Justin Fields.
And by the way, those two guys, Mac Jones and Micah Parsons, are going to win both respective defensive and offensive rookie of the year.
But you wouldn't change your mind.
I thought Patrick Tan was.
Because you did find a guy who can run 62 yards in a straight line without tripping.
I am tempted tomorrow to ask Vic Fangio, hey, on Monday, coach, you said that you would do everything all over again. That insinuates you wouldn't have taken a quarterback. So what is your plan at quarterback for the future if that's not what you would have done this year and you don't have any regrets about it? You must have a plan for the future at quarterback. What is it?
Ask George.
Yeah, I was going to say that is a George question.
Well, it's my nightmare, guys. It's what it is. It's Vic Fangio.
They're
Teddy
all coming
Bridgewater.
Back. They're it, all going to be it, back. It,
well, your nightmare could be living right there on Elm Street.
I think it's more likely than not at this point, which is why I'm grumpy about winning. Tyler,
right.
I love winning.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Either be good
you
or
look
be
so
bad.
You're nice in person. I mean, when I listen to you on the drive in, you just, I mean, you.
He sounds like a gargoyle, right?
He sounds like a gargoyle over there.
Miserable, just grump. But then I look at you in person, you got a big smile, you got white pearly teeth.
It's hard to be mad.
You got the perma Mike Shanahan tan.
Yeah.
I mean, you look so friendly in person.
Voice of reason.
Just being the voice of reason for you guys.
I am bailing out. I'm going to record a podcast.
All right,
Dad
number two. Second time around, buddy. Congratulations.
Second time around.
Are you done now?
We are done.
James went for three. Tyler went for three.
I'm more a two-point scorer right around the basket. But I gave a couple shout-outs. It's someone on this text line goes, hey, what about your wife? Did she do anything notable recently? So shout out my
Very
wife, Ashley,
point.
Who's awesome, and Aunt Nene, her sister Brittany, who is in town helping us out. So appreciate
Love
it.
Love it.
All right. Have fun, guys.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.